We did it. We made it through 2020. Can you give God a hand clap for that? Check your pulse. If you're alive, you did it. We did it. And I'm just grateful because, you know, there were so many people that, you know, the Bible says that we shouldn't be ignorant of those who have fallen asleep. Those who may not be with us physically right now, but are that they're present with the Lord right now. And so even though this year took some people from us, I don't know, some of you may be here in this room or watching us that lost loved ones to COVID or anything else. You know, COVID wasn't the only problem. That was the annoying thing about 2020, right? COVID came and it didn't force all of the other problems out. The other problems stayed. And so we were dealing with normal life difficulties and a national, international pandemic. And so, man, what a year of just the way that we were given opportunity to lean into the Holy Spirit, to lean into God in a way that I don't think we've leaned into God in a long time. You know, in America, it's very, very easy to take for granted how blessed we are. You know, to be on welfare in this country is to still be in the top 10% of the world. So abject poverty in America, a lot of times, is middle class in some other countries in the world. And so I'm not diminishing the struggles of people that are impoverished in this nation. I'm just saying it's so easy for us to take for granted the way that God has blessed this nation. It's so easy to get distracted by our problems and by the things that are going on around us and to not just be grateful. And so I believe that years leading up to 2020, I think 2020 was an opportunity for some people to see like, oh, this is struggle. Oh, this is suffering. Oh, this is difficulty. And I'm so proud of us as a church. Pastor and I are so proud of us as a church because I feel like we stepped up to the plate and we didn't just get a base hit. I think we hit a home run in 2020. I think, of course, we're not perfect. You know, we didn't get everything right, but just the way, you know, I really want to say thank you to our media team in particular, because without our media team, we wouldn't have been able to do 90% of what we did this year. Of just starting Good Morning CL and CL Talks. And even, I don't know if you guys remember how wonderful Easter was for us, of just such a sacred time where we partook of communion together. And even though it was online and pastor talked with us through Good Friday and just so much that, man, I just feel God so strong right now. It's crazy. So much. I just want to warn y'all, I'm going to cry a lot today. I feel crying coming on. Easter was such a beautiful time. And even how incredible was it to celebrate Christmas, Advent with our families, and then to be in our homes and watch service online. Like, we couldn't do that without the media team. We couldn't do that without our staff. We couldn't do that without you guys either, because you give, and that's what's made it possible for us to do that. And so many people have got saved in 2020, and so many people were getting discipled in 2020, and we're not going to stop. You know, I was with some people on New Year's Eve, and we were going around a table, and we were talking about the year and talking about what was happening inside of our hearts. And I said, you know, it's hard for me to feel like 2021 is the end of 2020. Like, I feel like in 2020, we scratched the surface of some things that are launching us, I believe, honestly, into this next decade. I believe that this is going, I told you, this is going to be the year of the church. And some of you guys, you know, we don't talk about every single thing that we do throughout the work week here at Covenant Love. We don't talk about them all the time, the meetings and everything. But I just want to let you guys know the things that we began to talk about in 2020 is going to make it possible for this to be the year of the church. Because we started discussing, honestly, what it really looks like to be church. You know, what 2020 was for so many people, so many churches across America, was a realization of the ways that we lack in actually being the church. You know, because what happened for a lot of people was you take away Sunday morning and you take away everything that is church. And so, you know, we were so grateful here for that not to be our total reality. But we realize that we're in a state of becoming. So multiple times throughout the year in 2020, I talked to you guys about this reality of we are who God says that we are, and we are becoming what God says that we are at the same time, who God says that we are, right? So the moment we get saved, we're holy, we're righteous, we're loved, we're accepted, we're anointed, but we're called those things, but then we begin to walk that reality out. And so we are the church. We are. And we are becoming the full image of what it means to be the church. And like I said, we're really grateful here at Covenant Love that it wasn't that we had to go in and redo everything. It's just we noticed some things and we were looking around and we were like, wow, here are some areas where we can come up even higher. Here are some areas that it's not, you know, I've also talked about a love for repentance or a joy of repentance. And when God reveals an area where you could look more like him, that's not a sad thing. We don't get mad at ourselves whenever God peels back a little bit more of his eternal, infinite character and realize that we're not all the way there yet because we're finite beings. When God peels back portions of his eternal, infinite character and allows us to see deeper into his intentions and deeper into who he is and deeper into his heart, that's an opportunity for us not to, but like, it's sad because religion says you should beat yourself up, you should be angry at yourself, you should be mad that you're not there yet. But relationship says, how amazing that God's giving me more information about how to look more like him. And so we as a staff and we as a church, we're not upset at the things that 2020 revealed. We're like, bring it on. In your face, devil. In your face. What you meant for evil, God is turning it for good. What you meant to try and put our face down in the dust and make us think that we're not good enough, God is saying that you are good enough and I'm calling you higher and I've placed my spirit within you and I am guiding you and leading you into who you've specifically called to be as an individual and then corporately as a body here at Covenant Love. I'm looking around and, you know, it's interesting because we're still following social distancing protocols and we're all sat separately, right? There's 6 feet of distance between you and people that aren't your family members. And then I'm thinking about the people that are watching us online right now and you're all in individual homes and individual places watching individual screens, but we're one body. We're one body. Never, don't be deceived. When the devil tried to isolate you and make you think that if you weren't coming to a building or if you couldn't hug somebody or grab someone, that that somehow meant that you were divided from that person, he's got to think again. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We are one. We are one. So what we see when we look around this room is a bunch of individuals sitting in chairs, but what God sees is something like this. And so, yeah, we haven't been able to gather in a way that we used to gather, but that's never changed what's true about us. But it has revealed some ways that we could be more one. It has been revealed some ways that we could be more unified. And one of the things that we realized right off the bat was that we needed more prayer. And one of the things, and we pray a lot at this church, there is prayer going on all the time, whether you realize it or not. We've got intercessors that are constantly praying. We, throughout the year, have multiple prayer meetings. And this year, we expanded that. In 2020, I think we've prayed a lot, right? But we've prayed more in 2020 than I think we've prayed in a long time. And the goal is to not slow down, it's to ramp up our prayer. The goal is not to say, okay, well, we prayed enough and COVID's still here. Okay, we prayed enough and there's still racial tension in America. We've prayed enough and there's still political polarization in this nation. We've prayed enough and there's still poverty. We've prayed enough and there's still all these things. We prayed enough and the church is still divided and going crazy and blah, blah. No, no, no. Until the day that Jesus comes back, we will have never prayed enough. And again, that's not to look at us and to say, shame on us. That's to say, we've got the Spirit within us and we can go up higher. We can go up higher. And so tomorrow is the first day of the CL fast. I have never been so excited for a fast, honestly. And I've never had a year where I've wanted to fast more. But you know me, I'm real skinny, so if I fast too much, I would just like, you know, Thanos disappear into the middle of like nothing. Like, you know, if I fasted all year, as much as I wanted to fast this year, I would have ceased to exist. But I'm so excited about this fast. For those of you who don't know, we're going to be fasting from the 4th to, what is it, the 17th. Look at that, people telling me, the congregation letting the pastor know how long we're going to be fasting. that's awesome. So from the 4th to the 17th, we'll be fasting, and multiple ways that you can do that. Some people, you know, we're not just saying a Daniel fast this year because we know that people are varied within that. There's some people who might want to fast just lunch, but they want to eat breakfast and dinner every single day. There's some people who want to do a total fast, and there's some people who want to fast from morning until dinner, and then there's some people who want to do a Daniel fast, and then there's some people who want to do a media fast, or there's some people, there's plenty of different ways that we can make sacrifices so that we can lean into prayer more. But I just want to encourage you, make sure, you know, don't, if you're doing the Daniel fast, don't make the fast about the food. Make the fast about prayer. Make the fast about God. This is our focus this year for the CL fast, is prayer. Because we want to start this year off praying more than we've ever prayed before, and we want to get to 2020 and say we prayed more than we ever prayed before, and then going into 2023 we want to look back and say we prayed more than we ever prayed before, and 2024 and 2024 until Jesus comes back, we want to look back on every year and say we prayed more than we ever prayed before. His house will be called a house of prayer. We want to be known and marked by prayer. We want it to be that when people say, oh, Covenant Love Church, they're the church that prays. We love prayer here. Why? Not because it's cute or religious, but because prayer works. Prayer works. You know, in the midst of everything that was going on this year, I've heard so many testimonies of the goodness of God through prayer. And we want to see that continue. We want to see that grow. We want to see that get bigger. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to Matthew 16, 18 through 19. Woo! Woo! Come on, somebody. God, we thank you for your word. God, we honor your word. Thank you that this is the bread of life. God, we come into agreement with Deuteronomy 8 and say that we cannot live by bread alone, but we need every word that comes out of your mouth. And this morning, God, we say the bitter and the sweet, we want it both. God, we want such deep hunger that even the bitter things taste sweet to us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for transforming us by your word this morning. Transforming us by everything written in this book. Thank you that these are not just words on a screen or on a page, but they are living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to separate down to joint and marrow, and even soul and spirit. We honor your word. We honor your word. It says in verse 18, and I also say to you, this is Jesus talking to Peter after he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And some said John the Baptist, some say Elijah. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter looks at Jesus and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, I also say to you that you are Peter, you are rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. Again, not a physical building, but all of us. We have all been built on the rock of Peter's revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can we say that together? One, two, three. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Moving on, it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's two things that we really need to realize about this scripture. There's a lot here. We could exegete this scripture all day long. We could draw out so much from this scripture, but two things that I think are foundational as we talk about the topic of prayer is, number one, the gates of hell cannot win. They can't. Even when it looks like you've lost, hell is still losing. I heard a pastor say one time that Jesus can be dealt a pair of twos and still beat the house. It's the truth. Can somebody say that? Just say, it's true. Say, I believe it. The gates of hell cannot prevail. And as we talk, get a little bit deeper into this discussion, I want you guys to realize that it's the gates of hell. So this doesn't say the armies of hell that are advancing against the gates of heaven. The picture that's being drawn for us by Jesus right here is that heaven is storming the gates of hell. We are not on the defensive. We are on the offensive. And so it's not that we're sitting around in our church buildings waiting for the big bad devil to show up like the bad wolf so we can see if he blows on us, if the house is going to fall down. God built the house. So even if the gates of hell were on the offensive, there's no knocking down the house of God. Do you understand what the Church of Jesus Christ has survived throughout history? By all accounts, Christianity should be dead. We should have died in the Middle Ages. But you can't squash the light of God. And even if there was one person that was still praying, that was still declaring and decreeing the word of God over the earth, the church would still find a way to prevail. I love this song, 116. Lecrae has I like Lecrae. He has this lyric where he says, "What y'all gonna do? Murder us? What murder does is send a surge of us to go put churches up." You can't beat the kingdom of God. You can't. We are unbeatable. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. This goes beyond how we feel. This goes beyond our emotions. This goes beyond anything that we could think or imagine in our minds whenever the devil is trying to attack us, because we are in a war. The gates of hell can't prevail, but that means that there are sides trying to prevail against one another. So we are in a fight. I mean, you look at Daniel, you know, just to show you the idea of the type of fight that we're in. Daniel, when he was on, which he wasn't fasting, he was just praying for 21 days and he wasn't eating anything that was desirable. He was praying for 21 days because he had just received a vision and he was like, "What in the world?" And he couldn't sleep, he couldn't do anything. He didn't like wake up one day and say like, "Oh, I'm gonna go on a 21-day fast and churches in America are gonna call it the Daniel fast one day." He had a vision, got really confused by that vision, and then prayed for 21 days. And when the angel showed up to reveal to him what the dream meant, he said that I was fighting the prince of Persia. That wasn't a physical prince, that was the prince of the power of the air. So he shows up, so this angel shows up and says, "I've been in a fight, and after I reveal this dream to you, I'm going back to the fight." So it wasn't, we can see and we can extrapolate from that, that it wasn't that God just snapped his finger and a war in the heavenlies were over. It's that there was a war going on in the prayer of one man was determining the outcome of that battle. And so what we have to realize is that we're a part of this fight. And that means that there will be difficulty and there will be strain and there will be a fighting that happens. But we just, if you're ever going through a spiritual battle, I think just find a place, maybe get an expo marker and write it up on your mirror, "The gates of hell will not prevail." And I think we should start waking up every morning and reminding the devil that I'm at your doorstep, you're not at mine. You're not attacking me, I'm attacking you. You just got my attention and you never should have done that. That should be our reality. Because I understand what it feels like, but man, if you were like to read what God says about the devil in Isaiah, and you caught revelation of what the Father has said about the devil, that's the last thing the devil wants you to realize. The last thing the devil wants you to realize is the fact that he has been defeated. And so before, I think we need to always go into the topic of prayer, understanding that there is no battle we can lose. So that's our starting point. Say it with me, the gates of hell will not prevail. That's number one. The second thing is that we have been given the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose on earth as it is in heaven. So unless you've just recently been saved, I know that some of you watching us and then some of you that are in this room maybe just got saved this year or maybe just got saved in the last little bit of time. But if you've been in this church for any, if you've got any history here, you've heard this scripture like God knows how many times. We hold tight to this scripture because this is a deep reality about who the church is. And so we have that realization that it says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church and that he has given us the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. But sometimes that can just become like a religious phraseology that we use. Like, there's a lot of people that can say, I have the power to bind and loose, but have no idea what it means. And so we need a deep understanding of what it means to have the authority to bind and loose. Why? Because this is not only important whenever we talk about the doctrine of prayer, but also when we get into the authority of the church, the authority of the believer, the authority of the kingdom of God, and so many other things, so many tenets of the faith within Christianity. This scripture is like a paradigm shifting part of the truth of these doctrines. And so it's important for us to understand what Jesus meant whenever he said it. And the most simple way that I know how to phrase it is that we have the yes and the no of heaven. Whenever we say that we have been given the keys of the kingdom and we can bind on earth, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth, we loose in heaven, that simply means that whatever God says yes to in heaven, we can say yes to on the earth. And whatever we say yes to on the earth is backed by whatever God has said yes to in heaven. And whatever we say no to on the earth is backed by whatever God says no to in heaven. Look at this picture really quick. Y'all pop that script, that picture up of me and my, look at that. That's a 90s picture if I've ever seen one right there. That's my dad and my brothers and me. And don't we just look so innocent in that picture? We look so innocent, right? If you switch to the next picture, you can see like that one. You can see in Caleb and Christopher's eyes, they're deviant. Deviant people. I'm still very innocent. I have my hat on, my mullet. But Christopher and Caleb Bryce, deviant people. And I don't know about you, I grew up in a rowdy house. You talk about spiritual warfare, there was physical warfare going on between me and my brothers in my home. And we grew up, when was our house built, Mom? Like the 40s, right? The house we originally lived in? Yeah, so when we moved to Fayetteville, we moved into a home that had been built in 1948, something like that, 1948. And so the boys stayed upstairs, or Christopher and Caleb, they stayed upstairs. And whenever they would start wrestling, whenever they would go to war with one another, you could hear it all throughout the house. I mean, it was just, that's how it sounded. And sometimes whenever we would, don't stop. whenever that dad would hear that noise and I would be close to dad, sometimes my dad would say, Cameron, go tell your brothers to stop wrestling. Now, understand, if I were to have just gone upstairs to my brothers and said, stop wrestling, I would have gotten a beat down. Like, I would have totally just been owned. My underwear would have been over my head. I would have been thrown into like a closet and locked or whatever. Like it would have been bad. It would have been bad news. But whenever I went upstairs and said, Dad said, stop it, I had weight. But it wasn't my weight. God knows. It wasn't my weight. It was his. It wasn't just my authority. So my dad gave me his authority, gave me his name to go upstairs and say, Dad said, stop. And so Christopher and Caleb then would eventually stop, like, and if they didn't obey, this is a whole nother message, but if they didn't obey me talking and saying dad said, then dad showed up. So if they didn't obey the word, they had to deal with the man. It's a totally different message, but I did want to throw that out there, and y'all can marinate in that for the next couple weeks as well. But I went upstairs with the yes or the no of my dad. And I carried his authority with me. So the power to bind on earth and loose on earth is based off of the fact, not by your might, not by your spirit, not by your power, but by his spirit, by his promises, by his authority, by his power, you have the right to the yes and the no of heaven. And the yeses and the noes of heaven are the promises of God. The keys of the kingdom that we have received, they are the yeses and the noes of heaven, or the promises of God. So a couple of examples of this would be, for instance, in Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's a no from heaven, that when weapons are being formed against you, you can then come against them and say, I've got a no. I bind that on heaven because it's already been bound. I mean, I bind that on earth because it's already been bound in heaven. I already have the no. That's not allowed here anymore. So then I've got a lot more yeses than I do have, than I have no's, but I mean, it's kind of, there's over 7,000 promises of God in the Bible. It's hard to narrow down just the ones that you want. How about this for a yes from heaven? Psalm 103:5 says, he will, yes, he will satisfy you with good things. He will satisfy you with good things. So whenever the devil tries to attack you with a thought that you don't deserve anything, that you're gonna lose your job during this pandemic, and you're gonna have to fend for yourself, and you're gonna lose all your stuff, and you're gonna go into debt. No, I have a yes from heaven. I release into the earth the yes that says he will satisfy me with good things. I've got a lot more here. If I encourage you, go online, get the notes. I don't have much time left. But go online, get the notes. I've got a couple more there. Even just look up on Google the promises of God. And there you'll find all of the yeses and all of the noes. And so when the gates of hell attempt to push on and war against the kingdom of God, our response should be to fire back at its attacks with the yes and no of heaven. And we do this through prayer. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 6:13-18. Everybody good? Everybody okay? I'm just teaching a little bit today. It says in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waists with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, pause right there for just a second. You realize how many of these are directly connected to the word of God? So, girding your waist with truth. The Bible is truth. The word of God is truth. The promises of God, the yeses and the noes of heaven are truth. Or the breastplate of righteousness, or shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel, the word of God, the gospel of peace. And then taking on the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So many of these are directly connected to the written word of God. So you can't put your armor on without this. And you can't fight without this. And you can't defend yourself without this. So all of these pieces of armor are connected to the Word of God. But then the way that we execute or exercise our armor and our sword, which is the Word of God, is through praying. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we pray from the Word of God. We use our armor through prayer, and our armor is the Word of God. Y'all following me? It says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice that once we have taken up the armor of God, our instruction is to pray. So once you've got the word on, and once you've got the word in your hand, and you're ready to swing that sword, you swing it through prayer. You use your shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, through prayer. So we access and we use the keys of the kingdom. We bind and we loose through praying the word of God. Through praying the yeses and the noes of heaven. Through praying the promises of God. We are not supposed to just sit back and wait for God to work things out. So the war that we're in is not a spectator sport. It's not. We have been fed, in general in America, I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about the church as a whole, has been fed this idea about the sovereignty of God, that God's only going to do what God wants to do. Now, that's true, but God doesn't do what he wants to do in the earth without a man. So God doesn't just exercise the truth or the word or his promises on his own. We're co-laborers with him. We work alongside. I hate it when people pray, God, drain me of me. God's like, no, I want to work with you. I want to walk alongside you. I want to walk within you, and I want you to execute my plans in the earth. I mean, you even look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. And we read that scripture, right? We get excited. We're like, woo, baby, all your promises are yes and amen. Hey, sing it with me now. And they didn't finish that song. Because it says, to the glory of God through us. Through us. Not to the glory of God through pastors, even though, yes. Not just to the glory of God through evangelists and special speakers and conferences. Through every single last one of you. Through all of us. God is glorified when we pray his promises. When we use the armor of God, the word of God, to pray the yeses and the noes of heaven into the earth, and to destroy the works of the devil. This means that in order for God to be glorified, we've got to pray. Look at it. Let's look at an example of this in Ezekiel. I didn't write the reference down for this. Do y'all have the reference on the screen? Yeah, there we go. 36:33. I didn't have the reference in my notes. Thank you, media team, once again. It says, thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land, we speak this over America this morning. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. So who's going to rebuild? God. God's going to do the rebuilding. Right? He's making a promise right here. In this scripture, God is giving a yes to Israel. God is saying, this is what I will do. I will rebuild. And I believe God's going to do that in America too, that God is going to rebuild the desolate places. But then it also says, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. But thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire or pray. I will let the house of Israel pray of me to do this for them. There's a scripture to dump all over the sovereignty of God theology that's going around in America right now. That it's not just that we sit around and wait for God to move. That God literally says, I will allow my people to inquire of me to do it. Even going back to what I was talking about with Daniel at the beginning of the message, that Daniel was reading in the prophet Jeremiah. Whenever Jeremiah is speaking from the Lord and saying that for 70 years, the people will be in captivity. And Daniel realizes that it's been 70 years. And so what does Daniel do? He doesn't just say, glory be, hallelujah, it's all done, God's gonna, no, he starts to pray. He starts to pray. And so we've gotta realize that whenever we come into situations that require the promises of God, we don't just sit back, relax, and wait. We pray. We contend in prayer. We get up in the mornings and we lean into the face of God. And we take his promises and we say, God, this is what you said. Would you do it in my day, Lord? We look at a scripture like Joel when it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, on my men and my men, on my men servants and my maid servants, and that we would begin to gather around a scripture like that and say, God, would you pour out your spirit on all flesh? It says in the last days to come before God and say, God, if the New Testament tells us that we are living in the last days, would you pour out your spirit on all flesh? Or to take a scripture like this, whenever it says that he will take the desolate land and make it like the Garden of Eden, that we would look at the condition of our nation and say, God, we see the desolation, we see the ruins, we see the hurt, we see the pain, but we know that you can do it. We know that you are the restorer of the breach. We know that you are the God who restores all things. You make things new. Would you do it again, God? Do it again, Lord. And then to begin to declare those things and believe a scripture like Isaiah that says every word sent down from heaven will not go back up until it has succeeded in what God sent it to do. Take it, lean into it, pray into it, believe it, grasp it. Hold on to it, hunger for it, desire it, burn for the word of God. We have to live on mission. We have to live believing that God wants to do what he said he wants to do. To know that we can take a prayer like John 17 and realize that through our unity, the world will know that Jesus was sent by the Father. Leaning into those scriptures that are promises of worldwide revival. Not just where we're looking back at the past and saying, I prayed it this morning. I love the Azusa Street Revival, but I don't want what God did back then. I do, but I also want what God wants to do right now. And what God wants to do right now is found right here in His promises. And I also just feel this deep desire to say to you that we can't just make prayer just this individualistic thing where we're calling on the promises of God for our life alone. I think one of the reasons why we're in the condition that we're in this nation right now is because we've been more concerned about our things. I was speaking to one of our board members yesterday, and he said that, he's like, you know, so many people don't pursue the kingdom of God because they're afraid they're going to lose their kingdom. Their stuff. It might cost us everything. It might not. But I can tell you, if it does cost you everything, God's going to give you back. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Do not be afraid of what He asks of you. Don't be like the rich young ruler who hears what Jesus is requiring of him and walking away. And you know, it says there that Jesus wasn't mad at him. It says Jesus loved him. But He didn't chase him down. The choice is ours. And if we truly want to see revival in our nation, if we truly want to see what God is made of, we can't just be spectators. We can't just go to church. We've got to be the church. And I understand that some of us are hurt. I've talked about it I talked about it a lot in 2020. Some of us are very hurt by the church. And we've embraced cancel culture that says, if you're not perfect, get out of my life. The beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ is that you don't choose your family. What's supposed to be distinct about the church from the rest of the world is that we don't curate the people who look like us. Curate means that I can just pick and choose what applies best to my life. Oh, well, you look like me, you talk like me, you're from the same station of life as me, and so you can be my friend. And honestly, what we've seen happen in the body of Christ is that so many people go into friendships expecting people to be perfect, and then you don't see people that have been friends for like 15, 20 years anymore. Why? Because the glamour wears off. Especially in a place like the church, it becomes abundantly clear how imperfect we are. But what's supposed to make us different from the rest of the world is that I still see you, I still love you, and I still accept you, and I am in the process with you. And I will not just pray for myself, I will pray for you. I will pray for blessing, I will pray for life, I will pray for the abundance of God to be on you. I will pray not just for you to change so that I can be more comfortable, but so that you can be exactly who God called you to be, so that you can be transformed and conformed into the image of the Son. And I'm not gonna just walk around smacking you with the log in my eye because I'm upset about the speck, that we would all be dedicated first and foremost to looking at what God wants to do in my life and then helping what God wants to do in somebody else's life as well. That prayer is no longer just this self-centered, me, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme mentality. That I look around and I say, I will bless even those who persecute me. I will declare the promises of God even over the people that I disagree with the most. I will declare the life of God over every single person that is around me. That if I can come in contact with them, you're being blessed, baby. I will bless you. I even believe right now in this moment that there is breakthrough for some of you that will be found in your intercession for others. That the miracle that you've been waiting for in your own life is on the other side of you believing for that same miracle for someone else. We need one another. We cannot make it through the end times without one another, without praying for one another, without lifting up one another. And we certainly will not see another revival until we can figure out how to be the church. And being the church is speaking life, binding and loosing and releasing blessing and the promises of God over everyone. F.B. Meyer, a great missionary, once said, one of the greatest tragedies of our day in the Church of Jesus Christ is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. So why is it that some of us don't pray? I believe three things that I believe in closing, hopefully. Some of us don't know how. That's fair, right? Some of us don't know how. If you feel like you don't know how, it's okay. It's okay. We're all in a process. We're all in a process. There's some of us who feel foolish when we pray, feel like we're talking to a brick wall or nobody. And then others have become disappointed, believing that God doesn't listen. I just want to walk through the three of those really quick. Number one, if you don't know how, one of the greatest things that we have at this church, I believe, that was a response to what happened in 2020, is every Monday through Thursday at 9 a.m., we have Good Morning CL on YouTube and Facebook. This is not a commercial. This is the truth. And also we have, well, is that information up there? That's one of the amazing things that we do. Typically what we do during Good Morning CL is we have about 7 to 10 minutes of worship, and then whatever pastor is facilitating that moment of prayer, a lot of times what we do is we'll pray through the scripture. So we'll pray through promises of God. We'll pray through different things. And that's not just so that people can watch. You know how I learned how to pray? Listening. I mean, I got taught in here, right? I got taught the Word of God. But then also, Pastor Quentin Self, who was my youth pastor, I would listen to him pray. And so one of the amazing things about Good Morning CL is that it's an opportunity to listen to people who have been praying for a really long time and to hear not how they just talk out into the wind, but honestly, you get to see a picture of each individual pastor's intimacy with God. And then through that, if you don't just watch, but if you listen and you say, I want to be discipled in prayer, you will be discipled in prayer through something like Good Morning CL. Another amazing thing that we have here at the church is our Saturday night prayer. Now, right now we do it via Zoom because we haven't been able to come back in. We're hoping that sometime this year we'll be able to start. We'll still do Zoom prayer, but then we also are hoping to be able to start praying in the sanctuary again. But That password, Viking 2020, that's Pastor John's fault. So I wish it was Dallas or something like that, but you know, Cowboys or something, but it's the Vikings. So, but if you want to be a part of that, it's the same thing, sorry, it's the same thing every single week. It's that meeting ID and it's that password. So if you want to take a picture of that, you can go on YouTube later, snap a screenshot of it. But that's another time where for an hour straight, you've got seasoned people that are praying. People who have been in this church for years and years and years and years that are praying. And then also, if you become a part of the prayer ministry, you're given opportunity to learn how to be an intercessor as well. And we'll talk more about that as we go into the new year. But those are two ways that if you don't know how to pray, I'd say start there. Start with Good Morning CL. And if you can't tune in at 9 o'clock, I encourage you, it's up there all day long. It's up there all day long. And that's every day, Monday through Thursday at 9 a.m. For those of you who might feel foolish when you're praying, and you feel like you're talking to no one, this is the best piece of advice that I can give you. Don't stop. Amen. Don't stop. It says in 1 John 5:14 through 15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. But focus on that first part. He hears you. He hears you. And the more you pray, the more you become aware of that reality. I can tell you that in my life, it's only crescendoed, my awareness of God hearing me. It's only gone greater and greater and greater. But that's also come at me pushing through the moments that I feel like he's not talking. I mean, I was being honest with you guys. You know, there's times where I don't feel like God is really speaking to me that much. That's what I told you at the beginning of service. For all of December, I was like, okay, God, you gonna say something? And then, boom, this morning, he speaks something to me. And there are days where my communication with God is like communicating with my wife. And then there are days when he's drawing me deeper and I'm not really sure what he's doing, but I stay engaged in prayer. I stay engaged. Don't believe the lie that just because I have a microphone, I've got more access to God than you. Pastor has gone through just as many, if not way more, dry seasons than the rest of us. I mean, when you've been alive that long. Y'all know I'm not preaching next Sunday, right? he'll say something next week, I'm sure. He's been through dry seasons. One of the most beautiful songs ever written by Covenant Love came out of a dry season. It's a song that said, fill me, pour out anointing oil again. My dad wrote that in a dry season. So lean into the dry moments. Lean into the moments that feel foolish. Don't stop. Don't give up. You have confidence that he hears you. Confidence that he hears you. And lastly, if you've become disappointed because of unanswered prayer, I want to encourage you to allow space in your heart to heal. Rob, if you could come up. I feel like maybe a song will come up. If not, who cares? We'll see. Jesus is compassionate toward your disappointment. You guys know in the story of Lazarus, some people come and they tell Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. I can't say that word very well because my mouth is paralyzed over here. they say, your friend is sick. And Jesus says, okay. And he waits. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus goes. And whenever he sees the disappointment in Mary and Martha's eyes, shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. If you're disappointed, Jesus is right there with you. And he's compassionate towards you. And I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed. I don't know why not every prayer seems like, notice my language there. I don't know why every prayer seems like it doesn't get answered. But I tell you what I won't do. I will not create doctrines of disappointment in my life. I will never say because he didn't, he doesn't. You hear me? Never, and I'm not condemning you, please hear all of the compassion that I can muster. Just because he didn't doesn't mean he doesn't. He is always good. And his promises are always yes and amen. And even after a year like 2020, his promises are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. And I encourage you to lean in with us during this fast, even if you're not going to fast. Even if you're not. Lean in with us. Let's pray more than we've ever prayed in 2021. Let's lift up more prayer than we've ever prayed. Even if all of this stuff miraculously goes away, let's pray all the more. Even if every prayer gets answered and we feel like we're on the mountaintop, let's pray more. And even if things start to get worse, let's pray more. What does Pastor say all the time? Truth trumps what's true. The truth of God, the truth of the yeses and the noes of God trumps everything that may feel true in the physical. Let's just stand to our feet really quick. Let's lift our hands. God, we lean in. We lean in. And if we don't know how to pray, God, we say, teach us. And if we feel foolish when we pray, we say, be our confidence. And if we've grown disappointed, we ask you to heal our hearts. Says in Proverbs 13:12, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. God, I pray for suddenlies to be released this year. God, thank you that this is the year of the church, which means this will be a year of you confirming your word with signs following. Even now, Lord Jesus, I pray if there is anyone in this room that needs healing, I speak healing over your body. Isaiah 53 says that by his stripes we are healed. I speak healing. In Exodus, it says that he is the Lord that heals us. I declare that he is the Lord that heals you in Jesus' name. If there is any financial lack in this room, I thank you that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. I declare in Jesus' name that men shall give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And where there has been sorrow and shame, I release a double portion. Joy for mourning. Joy for mourning. Joy for mourning. Joy for mourning in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed, really quick, if you're in this place or if you're watching us online and you've never given your life to Jesus, never given your life to Jesus, but you say, I want whatever it is that these people have, I just want you to shoot your hand up. Just shoot your hand up. And if you're watching us online, you can just put a hand up emoji as well. Come on, Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Even if there's one, that's okay. Anybody else that wants to give their life to Jesus? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Just a couple more seconds. A couple more seconds. I don't see a lot of new faces today anyway, so I know most everybody here is saved. If you raise your hand, I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I give my life to you. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you now. My sins are forgiven, and I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. That's awesome.